Welcome to Real Faith for Real Life, the podcast all about the intersection of faith and life. This season, we're doing something a little different. We're talking about the mission and vision of Cascade Fellowship. Hey, quick reminder, if you are listening to this, not watching it, but listening in your car or in the gym or out walking, just be aware, like the previous episodes, we've got a lot of graphics, we've got some charts, we've got all sorts of things on the screen, and it may be just a little touch harder to follow along without those graphics. So you may want to consider, you don't have to, but you may want to consider pressing pause and finding the video version on YouTube or on our website, cascadefellowship.org. Just go to the Get Connected page and then scroll on down to the podcast. Alternatively, you can find all these videos in one place at cascadefellowship.org/vision. Now let's talk a little bit about the mission and vision of our church. We've been saying our mission is this: radiating the love and truth of Jesus in every area of life. And how do we do that? Our vision for how to accomplish that? Cascade Fellowship welcomes people into loving community, equips them with God's never-changing truth, and inspires them to live it out in an ever-changing world. This series of videos is about showing how we arrived at these statements. We've been saying this, that we've got to show our work. The work was this. We talked about this previously. It was a lot of listening. In this process that we've been going through since last fall, we've been listening to God, to our community, to our congregation, to our previous vision team, and to our leadership. In this video in particular, I want us to focus on this aspect and how we listened to our community. And the very first question you might ask is, how do you define community? I'm so glad you asked. There are a lot of different ways we could do that, but we started by just looking at who currently attends our church. Previously, you'll remember we were closing in on about 800 active members and regular attenders. If we plot where they live on a map, this is what shows up. And you'll notice there's a cluster right here around us. And then there's some outliers. But as with most churches today, most of our attendees are coming from about a 5-mile radius. Most people are willing to drive about 15 minutes to get to their home church, and we're no different. So that is what we're seeing currently, and that's how we're defining our community, as most churches do nowadays. So if you draw that circle, this is what it looks like. And we just chose to dive deep into the people that live within this radius, learn about them, who they are, what they care about, what their lives are like, and how we can minister to them. How did we do that? Again, glad you asked. We used a great tool called Mission Insight. And I want to just brief you on what it is and why we chose to do it first. So we used a demographic tool to help us understand our community so that, first, we can open our congregants' minds to the large number of unreached people nearby. And we'll see that towards the middle of the video today. And I hope it opens your eyes and your mind as well to just how many people there are living nearby that need to be reached with the gospel, that need a church home. Second, we use this tool so that we could discover which types of outreach ministries might be most effective. And third, we use this tool so that we can locate the intersection of our church's giftedness with our community's needs. You might think of it like a Venn diagram. There's a certain gifting that every church has. Every church is different. In particular, our church has some gifts. And our community has some needs, and every community is different. Every community has particular and different and unique needs. So the question for us that we're seeking to uncover here is, where is the overlap between our church's giftedness, what we have to offer, and what our community needs? Okay, so that is getting back to the theme of this whole thing, isn't it? Remember back from video one and the thing I've been preaching since last fall, we're blessed to be a blessing, right? That is why God has blessed us. And so we ought to be asking this question: how are we blessed to be a blessing to these people in particular? How are we blessed in particular to be a blessing to these people in particular? You have to know a little bit about the people who live nearby, what they're like, what they care about, what they struggle with, what they're looking for in a religious community. And so today's video is all about that. I'm just going to tell you, I loved putting this together. It may not be everybody's cup of tea. We're going to dive deep in some demographics and some psychographics, and we're going to begin to talk about a spiritual survey. But hang in there. This is really useful information. We should care about the people located nearby and know who they are. That's what this is all about, okay? So don't lose sight of that as we dive deep. Get ready to dive. Here we go. First general topic today, as we seek to learn more about our community, is the general demographic characteristics. What is true, generally speaking, of this 5-mile radius around us, Cascade and Ada? We found that there's 60,460 people currently living within this area, and it is a growing area. It's set to grow by 2,000 plus people within the next 3 years. This is a higher rate of growth than the average in our states. That's good news. We live in an area that is not declining, but is increasing in number. Here's what it looks like if you would graph it out. The blue here is just the overall population. You can also see the number of households and the number of families gradually increasing as well in the coming years. So let's spend a few moments thinking about these 60,000 people. What do we know about them? Well, one of the things that we know about our area is it's a wealthy area. In fact, 59% of households make more than $100,000 per year. This is much higher than the national average. Charted out over time, you can see that is set to increase even more. A wealthy area. It's also a highly educated area with 33% of people having a bachelor's degree compared to the state average of 18%, and 25% having a graduate degree compared to the state average of 12%. Graphed out, here's what it looks like. Our study area, that's the yellow bars, the state average, that's the blue bars. You can see the two that I just mentioned here on the end. Bachelor degrees much higher than the state average, and graduate professional degrees much higher than the state average. It's a wealthy area. It's a highly educated area. That's important to know. How about where people work? 63% of people work as executives, consultants, or in sales. If you categorize it just in white collar, blue collar, a helpful distinction perhaps, you'll learn that 24.2% are blue collar, but the vast majority here within 5 miles of the church are white collar workers, almost 76%. And what about the racial makeup of our area? You can see in blue here, 81% of our study area is white. The next largest race would be Black African American at 8%. And then from there, Asian at 5%, Hispanic Latino at 4%. And then all the others combined into 3%. So many of us realize this. We live in a predominantly monoethnic, a predominantly white area. This is set to change just slightly over the next few years. As is projected in about 5 years, African Americans will be 9% instead of 8%. But you can see it's still projected to remain primarily monoethnic. Here is the trend line. So you can see the growth of population here. We've already seen that. The amount of white residents here increasing, and these other bars increasing as well, but remaining in basically the same proportions over time. How about the age breakdown? We have many generations here in our community, as you well know. Actually, the largest generation that lives within 5 miles of the church is millennials. 33% of us here in Ada and Cascade are millennial. Next up is Gen X. I think that's the one I represent. So 25%, that's us. The new generation coming right behind, 19% Gen Z, 17% boomers, and 5% silent generation. And here's what this looks like over time and compared to the state average. So we are the blue line. The state average is the purple line. You can see we're on average younger than the rest of Michigan, but along with Michigan, we are aging. And so right now in 2022, Our average age is 41, but over the next few years, here over 10 years, that's going to increase to 42, and it's just going to continue getting a little older. You can see it already has gotten a lot older in just the past 20 years. So we're somewhat an aging population, but younger than the state average. So that's just a quick overview of demographics. How would you summarize this in one sentence? I would say it like this. We live in a predominantly monoethnic, wealthy, highly educated, growing, and aging population. That kind of gets at all the key things that we've just talked about. But we've left out spiritual considerations. Let's add that into the mix. I think that's important to do. Obviously, here's a striking number that you may not have expected to see. 60% of people within 5 miles do not have a church home. And this is up 9 percentage points from just 10 years ago. That is surprising to me and surprising to many of the people I've shared this stat with. There are a majority of people around us that we encounter day by day, every day, who do not belong to any religious community of any sort, who do not consider themselves active in a church. And this is trending in a horrible direction with almost 10 percentage points difference in just 10 years ago. And this, remember the population we're starting with, about 60,000. This equates to about 36,000 people near us who need a church home. We'll keep coming back to that number throughout these videos. I think it's a really important one, and I hope it's one that sticks in your mind, and you see this in your sleep, and you see this when you wake up, and you think about it all the time. These 60% of people, these 36,000 people who need a church home. Here's another way to look at that. This bar chart compares the number of people who are likely to have become active in a religious community lately versus the percent who are likely to have ceased to be active in a religious community lately. And you can see just comparing these two numbers, the number who have likely become more active is pretty small. The percent who have likely become less active or completely ceased to be active in religion is much, much bigger. And of course, 82.1% have not changed at all. There are more people leaving religion and leaving churches here than there are joining and becoming more active. Here's what it looks like. Our community, 17% say they're agnostic. 15% call themselves atheists. 11% polytheist. 8% deist. 26% Catholic. 8% non-denominational. 7% Presbyterian, 4% Baptist, and 1.5% between the CRC and the RCA. I don't know about you, but these numbers surprised me. I did not expect to discover this. I mean, we think we know where we live, right? We know it's a wealthy area. We know it's a highly educated area. And we think we know that it is a religious area, that people are Christians here. It's just what we are here in Ada and Cascade. And yet, when you ask them, you'll find that the majority of them don't have a church home, and many of them are agnostic, they're atheists, they're polytheists or deists. And so it's surprising, but we need to keep in mind that we live in a mission field where people need to know Christ and they need to find a church home. Let's bring all of this together now into our demographics summary, and I'll add to what we said previously with this new information. I'll say it this way. We live in a mission field that is predominantly monoethnic, wealthy, highly educated, growing, and aging. Why is it important that we know all of this about where we live? It's important because we're asking this question. How are we blessed to be a blessing to these people in particular? We got to know who they are. And the demographics start to help us do that. But let's go even deeper. The next section of our video, kind of part two if you're tracking along, goes beyond just demographics to what we call psychographics. So we're going to ask the question, what do these people care about? What's on their minds and on their hearts? What is their life like? These general psychographic characteristics. The Mission Insight tool interfaces with what's called mosaic segments. You can see on the screen that it has described the people in our 5-mile radius within these categories. The mosaic segments are groupings of people with similar lives, similar interests, similar problems, and similar ways of navigating through the world. You might have noticed they have letters and numbers. The letters correspond to the category, and so all of these A groups you see here are power elite. So we have A01, we have A03, we have A02, A04, and A05. This is a lot of people from group A, power elite. What is that? We're going to talk about that in a moment. We also have a lot of people from group C and from group B. This is a lot. Maybe it would be easier to see if we put this together graphically. And so these are all the different mosaic groups, the groupings of people with common lives. And we've spread them out from high income to low income. That's the y-axis from top to bottom, high income to low income. The data just so happened to clump together that we can also show young to old along an axis and singles to families along an axis. These are diagonal axes right here. So with all that in mind, let's look at the top 7 groups who live within a 5-mile radius of our church. I'll just circle them here on the screen. And you can see that a full 45% of the people, they are bunched up together here toward the high income side and growing toward a little bit toward the older side. There's one outlier down here, and that is 7% of the people who are young and starting out in life and beginning their families together, lower income and young. But primarily up here, we've got 45% of the people in our neighborhoods that are high income. And these two are also, they're not in the top 7, but they are there too. And these two together make 6%. So if you add that in, we're well over 50%. Just interesting fact about where we live. The top 3 mosaics for us are the categories power elite, booming with confidence, and flourishing families. 29% of our people who live around us belong to this broad category, power elite. That was what we saw before us, A01, A02, A03, 4, 5, etc. All those put together have some common characteristics, and we call them the power elite group. Similarly, there are some from the booming with confidence group, 15%, and some from flourishing with families at 10%. So the last thing we're going to do in this video is just dive a little deeper into these top mosaics, the top 3, and learn just a little bit about them. Who are the people that we're trying to reach with the gospel? First, the largest group that we have here, the power elite. Now, when we read about them and learn about them, these are the words that come to the top. Wealthy, highly educated, politically conservative, well invested, charitable giving, active and fit, with the head of household between 51 and 65 years old, typically, and the household income being $250,000 plus. There's some great research here about this group of people, and let's read a few excerpts from that research. These people, who are they? They are the wealthiest households in the U.S., living in the most exclusive neighborhoods and enjoying all that life has to offer. They have ambitious educational plans for their children and expect the church to offer high-quality programs for children and youth. They gravitate toward churches that maintain high standards for the performing arts and strong teaching ministries. Before we move on, I'll point out some emerging themes that you'll notice. These groups are wealthy, all of them. They are ambitious. They love education. They love learning. And they are gravitating toward quality. So you might see this in the form of high standards, mentioned several times on these slides, or otherwise just church done well, church done with excellence. What else do we know about the power elite? They are impatient with churches that are ineffective or fail to achieve significant mission outcomes. Nevertheless, people in this lifestyle group may feel lost or rootless. Their friends may be widely dispersed. Common spiritual issues include feeling lost or lonely, anxieties over aging, and dying. And so that rounds out what we're going to say about the power elite. They look like they have it all, and in many ways they do, except all of us, every single human being on planet Earth, wrestles with some things. We all feel lost and lonely sometimes. We all feel like there's more to life. And there are avenues to reach people, even when they look like they have everything and don't need anything. And we're learning a little bit about what those connection points might be. All right, let's move on to the next group, the second highest lifestyle group, the Mosaic group for us, is booming with confidence. What do we know about them? They are highly educated, affluent. They live in upscale housing, savvy investors, tech apprentices. They're environmental philanthropists. The head of household, again, is about 51 to 65. And the household income is typically between $100,000 and $125,000, basically. What do we know about these at a deeper level, these folks? Here's some of the research that's come back. Belonging to a church is a sign of community responsibility. They often declare denominational allegiances in social surveys. If the church is managed inefficiently or fails to get concrete results, it becomes less competitive with other volunteer opportunities and loses their attraction. As they've grown older, many are on a quest to rediscover absolutes in life. So again, we'll pause here before we go on. Something to note is that for these folks, often they lump church in with the rest of their life. Their life is about philanthropy. Their life is about helping people in the community and in the world. And so the church is kind of like that. It's something they should do as a responsibility for being so blessed by God. However, listen, if the church is not efficient at getting that done and making a difference, they will be perfectly happy to give their time and money and passion to something that is, whether or not it is a church. And here we begin to see, like we've seen in the other slides, that there are openings to ministry here. As they've grown and they've begun to mature and are heading toward retirement, they've achieved a lot, but they're beginning to look back and say, man, are there any absolutes in life? And they're returning to religion, many of them. Okay, what else do we know about this group? Well, churches that sustain their participation generally reflect good taste and quiet sophistication. The property is beautiful and well-maintained, but not ostentatious. Programs are high quality, but not indulgent. And leaders are professional, but not pretentious. Their quest for God tends to be driven by a sense of emptiness and purposelessness. They often complain that they have just lost their way and express a desire to just make a difference. And so again, you see some of the same themes coming through here. They are looking for ministry done well, but not in an over-the-top way, but in a sophisticated, elegant, excellent way. And they're on a quest, again, to find purpose in life, as we've seen with the other groups. They've achieved a lot. They've done a lot. And yet, they're looking for transcendence and meaning and an avenue to make a difference in the world. Okay, third and finally, the third biggest Mosaic group that we have in our area is called Flourishing Families. What do we know about them? They are affluent also. They're charitable contributors. They love athletic activities, saving for college, high credit card use, family-oriented activities. The head of household here is a little bit younger at 36 to 45, and the household income of 125 to about 150. All right, let's dive a little deeper beyond just these bullet points to read some research about this grouping of people. What do we know about them? Well, they are affluent, middle-aged families and couples, earning prosperous incomes and living a very comfortable, active lifestyle. They are church shoppers who are ambivalent about religious organizations. They hold traditional family values and want generational programming. And flourishing families are highly sociable. They value opportunities for fellowship and building relationships. Okay, again, pausing for a moment, time out. We'll unpack this much. What do we know about flourishing families? They, again, are affluent. They live a very comfortable lifestyle because they're building their family. Family is central to them and taking care of their family. And with that in mind, they're not afraid to shop around for the best church, especially when it comes to generational programming. And look at this, the opportunity to be sociable, to enjoy fellowship and building relationships. And so a church that offers these things is going to do well at reaching these folks and meeting a real need that they have. Continuing on, they will shop for a good church. That may mean a large resource-sized church that can provide multiple high-quality programs for all generations, especially children and youth. On the other hand, they may search for a medium-sized church that encourages deeper intimacy, builds mentoring relationships, and provides role models for children and youth. What is a good church? A good church offers quality programs, contemporary technologies, and informative sermons. They look for churches that are clear about core values and bedrock beliefs. We'll pause real quick again just to notice some key words. As they're looking for a good church, notice that these are not people who are content just to go to the closest CRC church. Many of us might have grown up in that era where that church is closest, I just go to it. It's in the denomination I grew up in, I just go to it. No, these folks are going to find a good church, and that may mean driving a little bit, but they're willing to do that. It doesn't necessarily have to be a large church. It could be a medium-sized church, but a church that is, here's the word again, offering quality programs. There's a commitment to excellence that these people have, and they want their churches also to be committed to excellence and contemporary use of technology. I would put this word around it, kind of relevant to the modern world. And look at this, informative sermons. And so they're looking to learn, they're looking to grow in their faith, they're looking for quality sermons that somebody's put some time into that make sense, that connect with their life, that they can remember and apply. And I just love this. Look at this. They are also looking for a church that has some core values that they're not afraid to say, we believe this. This is foundational to us. There is a bedrock value here that we build this church on. And man, as I look over all of these words that we've underlined and more, I'm like, wow, we have the potential at this church to be a really good fit for these folks. Okay, just a little bit more information now. Flourishing families, their quest for God is often driven by experiences of brokenness or rejection and anxieties over guilt and displacement as they move further away from extended family. They seek authenticity in relationships and wholeness in life. Healing, forgiveness, and hope lie at the root of their expectations of religion. So those in these flourishing families, they are striking out on their own and they're perhaps moving away from their extended family to achieve some success in the world. And there's a little bit of guilt about that, honestly. And so one of the ways to reach them is to realize that, man, they are looking for healing and forgiveness and hope, all the things that religion and Christianity should provide, right? As well as meaning and help with their anxieties and their guilt. Here's the last word we'll circle today, and that is this, authenticity. People today are looking for authenticity. And I believe firmly that's something that we absolutely provide here at this church. So why have we gone through all of this? Why have we learned about the power elites and the booming with confidence group and the flourishing families? Why have we done this research? Well, again, it's because we're blessed to be a blessing. So we got to ask this question. How are we blessed to be a blessing to these people in particular? We've examined their demographics, basics like their age, education, income levels. We've also examined now their psychographics, what it's like to be them, what they care about, and what they even fear. But there's even more to them, and that we're going to cover in our next video. I'll give you a little preview right now, if that's okay, because I'm so excited about it. In our next and our final video, by the way, in this series, we're going to examine the spiritual belief survey that was administered to people within a 5-mile radius. again, with the goal of discerning, here's how our church is gifted, here's how our community experiences their need, where is the overlap? And I think in the next video, we're going to see, and I'm so excited to share with you, that while a lot of churches might overlap with their community just slightly, like you see on the screen here, maybe other churches overlap a little bit more like this. I believe our church, man, it just is one and the same. What we have to offer is what our community is looking for. I firmly believe that. And it's such a huge blessing, right? What they want and who we are, the Venn diagram is just one circle. It's the same thing, basically speaking. Just by way of preview, we'll unpack this more next week and a lot of other great things. But we asked people in this 5-mile radius, what do you want in a church? Far and above anything else, the number one answer by far was warm and friendly encounters. Number two was quality sermons. Is that true of us? Is that who we are? Well, we also surveyed people that had joined our church in the past year, and we asked them, hey, why did you join our church? The number one answer, welcoming community. The number two answer, biblical preaching. This is just one example of how what the community is looking for and longing for is what we are. Super excited to continue this conversation next week on the podcast as we discover even more of those connection points with our community. And we're going to have a special interview guest next week. I think you're going to really enjoy it as we learn more about this community that we love so much and how we can reach them with the life-changing gospel of Christ. See you again soon.